I don't know about you, but with so much going on in the world today, we need some laughs. We need some laughs. We need some laughs. I can be serious, but I got to have some laughs periodically, you know, because I'll just blow up if I don't have a few laughs there, you know. I got to have some laughs. I saw a thing with all the stress going on and people talking about getting in shape. Guy said, he said it this way. He said, research has shown that laughing for 2 minutes is just as healthy as a 20-minute jog. He said, so here I am in the park sitting on the bench laughing at all the joggers going by, he said. Yeah, I could always use a laugh. I tell you what I can use sometimes, too. I'm not asking for you, okay? I need a hug sometimes. You ever need a hug? You ever just need a hug, one of these? Tyler's at the point now where you can't hug him, you know what I mean? And I love to get him in front of somebody and tell him goodbye and kiss him on the cheek. And it just, the color is red all of a sudden. And it's just kind of fun. And she stopped teasing him. I said, no, I'm going to tease him as long as I want to. That's right. But we all need an affirmation, okay? Maybe not a fit, but we need an affirmation. We need a pat on the back sometimes. We all do. We all go through that. We're wired that way. We like good camaraderie, and that's hard to find these days because camaraderie a lot is based on the concept of common ground, common values, common thoughts, common beliefs, common experiences. That's why you see somebody, you get ladies, and there's a group going out there, and there's a camaraderie about what they've gone through and the surgeries they've had and all those things like that. There's a fellowship of suffering, as Paul says, you know what I mean? But there's a camaraderie. If you've seen a certain movie, or if you've gone to a certain place, and there's a mutual shared things, and actually that's how we pray for people that are in need, because something inside of us is pulled in compassion because there is a common sharing camaraderie of even what they've gone through because of the things we have walked through. And I remind you, don't let those difficult times go to waste, because somebody will come in front of you that God will bring in front of you that you can say to somebody, hey, I understand that, and you're going to get through it. Some of you will do that. You know, I've heard Linda on the phone with young moms, with children, you know, and the problems they're having. And she says, oh, my God, I got stories for you. You know, I mean, especially that first one, you know, how much Robitussin can I give him before his heart stops? I gotta slow him down or something right now. I mean, you've got all those things that you're dealing with. You've got those problems. Oh, I understand. You're going to get through it, sweetie. You're going to get through this season. I hear her saying that all the time. You're going to get through it. And I'm in the other room. Oh, but yeah, but you don't know what it's going to take to get through it right now. We all need that. Welcome to the human family. One guy said, you're making your way in a world today. It takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to. Where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see. Our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. Some of y'all need to know that's not a prayer meeting song. I always remember we used to do the big Christmas productions, you know, and people, they feel something and they're conditioned, you know. And I remember some of the big Christmas shows one time, and the lights were all nice and the trees were all decorated and the music was playing. We all had our tuxedos on, and we would spend a little time singing some of the fun secular Christmas to kind of set the mood. And I'll never forget it, man. I'm sitting there on a stool and the light's good and I'm doing my best Frank thing, you know, and I'm going, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. And a little lady in my front row went, and I said, she's feeling the anointing with the chestnuts. Well, there's something, we all want to feel those things. And that's the best memory I have from those things. It's fun. It's fun. We all want to go. You see, that familiar little sitcom that was on for so long was centered around a bar. The quest was to find camaraderie and support from the fraternity of what I call decidedly dysfunctional characters. And each of them had their own quirky personalities, but yet they would come together trying to find the rapport. Yet, am I right to describe that right now? And they were all crazy, but there was a fellowship there, and they knew each other. Hey, man, there's something about your name. They wanted to feel part of a group, listen to this, where they were accepted. Don't laugh at them. especially kids, because kids want to feel that way. You know, you want to sing, I gotta be me, I'm my own man, but they all want to dress alike. That's how a kid gets in a gang, even. Break it down even to that. They want to be accepted. They want somebody to know them. They want to be recognized. That's how it happens. That's how sometimes people hook up with people that are not really the best people in the world. That's why you got to have radar discernment going all the time, because they're saying things that feel comfortable, that feel warm, things of acceptance, and we fall for things or get trapped in things. When we wake up, it's not good. They wanted to feel accepted. And in spite of their ongoing trials over and over, they would continue to walk through those doors every week looking for a place. And I wrote these three words: a place of safety, a place of peace, and a place of solace. A place, though, where they were known by their name. We all want that. We all want that when somebody, don't you hate those people? Don't you hate, and you know they know you, and they act like you've got to reintroduce yourself to somebody each time. I know some people that do what I do, and that's the way they are too. Each time you meet them, you know, they want you to kind of reintroduce yourself. I don't do that kind of stuff, man. I just kind of laugh and whatever. I just roll with it. But so they like to make people feel uneasy, you know. Well, that's not scriptural, and it's not godly at all. By the way, we certainly know there is no solace, there is no peace, there is no safety in that environment where they went together. And I see party mindset going on, especially in party-minded New Orleans, and everything's a party. There's a parade for everything, but yet we can't read, all right? And we can't drive on the streets, and we drive on the interstate. We need bulletproof glass in our cars. Yeah, but we're going to have a parade and have fun. But we humans are wired for the quest to keep feeling needed, keep feeling accepted, where we are known by name. By the way, that's very important in your house, that your house feels like a place where the people of your house feel welcome. Okay? I know I could dance on this a minute. And it should be a welcoming house. It should be a place where there is safety when that door comes in there. It should be, you shouldn't have to drive around the block dreading to go in the door there. And it's incumbent upon everybody that lives in the house to work to make it that way. And that's very, very important, that you can walk in there and you say, how many of you, I mean, there have been some things we've been different, and you go to functions and things like that, and we just get in the car and go home, and we come in the door, and one of us go, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you. We're home now. That's the way it ought to feel. That's the way you ought to feel when you get yourself in here on Sunday mornings. Some of y'all got chased by the devil at the front door here, and you just, it's okay. It feels good. But humans need that. But the pitfalls of looking for acceptance and affirmation in the wrong person, in the wrong practice, and in the wrong direction can lead to a multitude of problems, serious problems. But it is so much better for you to remind yourself, because humans will not measure up as much as we think they should. So you gotta understand that. The best thing I can tell you is that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knows your name. He knows who you are. Even in our weary, weary times, we all have stories. We all have stories of different things we've gone through. We've got our own Katrina story. Everybody does, our own suffering story. And I do not go back and visit those things. I wrote almost like a booklet, and I did a message in 10 churches around America, and I called it 10 Lessons from the Storm, and telling the whole story there. And Charisma had a full article on it. They printed it and all of that. But one day I just realized I didn't want to talk about it anymore. I didn't want to be known as the storm guy. So I put that in the desk, and I haven't seen it in 10, 15 years. It's there. But there are some things I remember during one of those times. And Linda and the boys were in San Antonio, and the Haggies were taking care of them. And I remember what was going on here and those things. And you just needed some affirmation, yet people were calling you, asking you for what to do. You know, when you got to tell 48 employees that they don't have a job anymore, I had to do that. 48 employees, counting the school. And you got to tell them there's nothing to come back to. And boy, you go through those things. You're trying to stand up and you're trying to speak faith. And I got to tell you, they're not home. The house is unusually silent. So I would go home and turn all the TVs on and get them all in every room, get some noise on. I remember that first night back, TV was still out. The radio worked. It was a Saturday night. I found radios, and I found the LSU game on. And I had it in all the houses, and it was, I mean, all around that. It sounded like I was in Tiger Stadium. It was so, but I needed something to take my mind off of that so the next day I could speak faith to the Christians. I remember one day, though, here's what stands out to me. Never forget it. I was in a store one day, and I thought I was, you know, I was doing what I had to do. And I had to buy some supplies or something. I don't know what it was. And all of a sudden, the overhead, it dawned on what I was saying. And they were playing that new Tommy Walker song at the time. And here I was, and all of a sudden, I found myself walking. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. And I started singing it. And I started doing this in the store. All I could say was, thank you. I did good to do that. Whenever I hear that, that's why I don't really lead it anymore, because I don't want to get up and bawl like a little girl, you know, standing up in front of you. But it connects me to that when I wasn't sure if anybody knew who I was and where I was. Goodness, my area code wouldn't even work on my phone. Come on. Come on. I was getting the box of meals from the Walmart parking lot with the flashlight and with the ice chest. You understand? Have you ever been there? He knows my name. Studies shown that even in the natural, the way God wired us, people like to hear their names. Your feel-good hormones, such as dopamine and serotonin, are released into your brain when your ears encode that your name has just been said aloud. Do you know that? That's why they teach salesmen those techniques. When after they get through with the line, they use your name there. Or they say, you know, Joe, you're right, Joe. You're exactly right, Joe. Chuck, you are so right, Chuck. You are right on it. And you're thinking, he's right and I'm brilliant, you know. And that's the way it goes. There's a birth, and you don't really realize it, but when you hear that, there's a sense of belonging there. The burst, I'm going to read it exactly the way I got it written. This burst of excitement makes people happy. It sends unconscious signals such as even empathy, as trust and compassion to an unconscious brain. You don't even really realize it because you've developed a thing because someone has called your name. And you even know that is your assigned identification. You can be in a store and somebody says, Linda, and she will turn, but there may be another Linda. But when you hear your name, that is your hook, that's your ID, you will turn. That's the way. The use of their name ensures they will remember how you made them feel. Salesmen know this technique. Even more, how do you think it feels when God calls your name? The first man to experience that was a man by the name of Adam. He heard it first. He heard God call his name first. In fact, God named him. That's your name. Sometimes when he called him Adam, it was good. Sometimes it wasn't good. Moses experienced this same thing in Exodus. We went through the adventure about a year and a half ago, but I'll just tag you a little bit on it to help your memory. In Exodus 3, here's Moses out on, and he's tending sheep, and in verse 4 of chapter 3, it said, when God saw that he had gone over to look, meaning at the bush that was on fire, God called to him from within the bush. He said, Moses, Moses. Do you think it would have been as dramatic if it had said, hey, over here. Psst, over here. Dude, hey. Moses. Moses. By the way, God, that shows the intensity when God calls your name more than once. Just like you moms when you're calling your kids. Moses said, I'm here, here I am. Don't come any closer, stand back. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Well, you know how the assignment began, and then it goes back and forth. Some 30 chapters later in the book of Exodus, it says, then Moses said to the Lord, it's going back and forth now, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you've not even let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name. He's reminding, it's a little sarcastic here. little bit of an edge, but yet you're going to say, I know you by name, but you've got me out here hanging out to dry, and you've given me this thing, and he's going back and forth. I know you by name, and you have found grace in my sight. Well, I'm thinking, that and a dollar, and you can ride the bus. That and a dollar, you can buy coffee. No. I need more than this. Now, therefore, and he coached a little, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, or truly, or really found, probably is the better language there, I need you to show me your way that I may know you, who you are, where you are, and where I fit in this thing. Again, the human need has never changed. The human, Eve wanted a camaraderie of someone that won her trust a little bit, back and forth there. Well, here he is. He's in a rough spot, and he needs more than just the pals. He needs God Almighty. Say, he said, show me your way that I may know you. Fast forward to the hard right side of the book in Philippians chapter 3. Paul is saying the very same thing. He said, Lord, that I may know you, that I may know the power of your resurrection. In other words, there is an identification factor. I know you, but I need you to let me know that you know me, and I need an affirmation more than just the first day when you told me. That I may know, that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this you remember the hot potato game God and Moses always played all those years? Because when God was ticked, he told Moses, your people. When Moses was ticked, he told God, these are your people. That's like some of you, depending on your children, that and what they've done depends on whose child they really are right now, right? When you hear in the other room, and you're in the other room, and you're not even a part of it, but you hear you and your daddy do the same thing there, and all of a sudden I'll look up, you know, and I wonder, and you understand what I'm saying? That's human. That's human. That's human nature. So here's what he said. If your present doesn't go with us, don't even get this thing started. Don't even get me started. David had those talks with God. Peter had those talks with God. Lord, don't even get me started here. I mean, we just don't want to fool with this. If your present doesn't go with us, don't bring us up from here. Don't get it started. For how will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except you go with us? So we shall be separate, and your people and I from all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. So the Lord said, verse 17, watch this. The Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken. That's a whole message all by itself right there. Maybe one day we'll do that, but just remember that. He said, because you have found grace in my sight. And notice what God says. And yes, son, I know you by name. I know who you are. And it was at this point, by knowing that, the feeling that he got. He didn't know what the anointing was. He didn't know what the enabling of the Spirit was at this point in time. But the very thing that, what this did, this actually gave him the impetus to get the ball rolling and to keep going. You understand that? And it was the fact, I know you, I'm proud of you. You might need to tell your kids that sometime. I'm proud of you. Yeah, you're goofing up, but I love you and I'm proud of you. Keep working. Don't stop. Moses was energized at this moment. And by the way, he would need it over and over again. Nothing has changed. But the very assignment of Jesus coming to this planet for us, the prophets even laid it out, and it's all the same that he would know us, that we would have relationships. Isaiah 43 said it this way, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have bought you back. I have redeemed you. And this isn't just all of the above, a blanket redemption. He said, and I know what I'm doing. I see your face when I did this. He said, I have called you by your name. You are mine. Do you see the thread? It's through the whole scripture. It's all there. There's something about that. You, with all God has to deal with, the God who made it all knows me by my name. He knows my thought. I can't take that in. It's really neat when somebody knows your name and you feel it. You ever walk into some place and somebody, and you don't realize yet, and they know your name or maybe know who you are. There's something that happens there. Our old friend Armin Morales of the Imperials, the great bass singer for so long, and our dear friend who is really suffering health issues right now, the very first time, there's been a lot of Elvis news over movies and all that the last few months. The very first time that Elvis called the Imperials to sing was in a recording studio in Nashville, Tennessee. And there we're going to record, Reach Out to Jesus. He touched me. Elvis, of all the records he made, he only won one Grammy Award, and it was for his gospel album called He Touched Me. One Grammy Award. He had never sung with him, but he was a gospel music nut. He was a fan. My goal was, heck, later on, I was going to be in the Stamps Quartet. I was going to sing with Elvis. I had about 8 or 10 buddies who were already on that show, and I was going to work my way. And then the sucker died, and then that blew the whole thing right there. Anyway, here they are, and the Jordanaires could. So they're in the studio, and they're all nervous. Armin said, but Elvis was a loved gospel music more than anything else on the planet. He loved all the old quartets. He knew every one of them. He knew their songs. They sang for him all the time. Well, anyway, they walk in and they'd been there waiting. He was a little late, naturally. And the Imperials were over in the corner. There was Armin. They'd never met him before. And they walk in and Elvis walks into the room. And Armin said it was the craziest thing. And they were all nervous and everything. He said, and all of a sudden, Elvis's eyes caught Armin's eyes. And Elvis walked over and Elvis said, Armin, I've always wanted to meet you. I love your singing. Armin said, I'd break a wall down for him at that point. And can you imagine? He knows who I am. That's nothing. The God who created all of this knows who I am. He knows who you are. Should that energize you more than even Elvis knowing your name? Although that'd be fun. Can you see a picture there? That's just a natural thing that I hope you can draw a parallel of the God. God, you're too busy. He knows your name. God, you're taking care. You got to take care of all these other crazy things in the place. He knows who you are. He knows your name. You're looking at the wall. Nobody knows. He knows. He knows my thoughts. He knows my fears. He knows my failures. He knows my every dream. He knows my name. How does that make me feel? It feels good right now, but I probably during this week at least 2 or 3 times will have to remind myself of that fact like Moses did. Moses heard it to begin with, but he needed to be reminded. Every prophet did it. Jeremiah said, God's word, before I formed you, I knew you. I knew your name. Paul wrote about it. It's the thread in 1 Corinthians. If anyone loves God, he is known by him. Oh, I know him. He gets in. Paul teaching a young man, leaving a note for him. He said, nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. Listen to this. What is the seal? That the Lord knows those who are his. And then, not only does he know us by name, we in return must not be ashamed to name him. You understand? So there is something involved. There's a reciprocal thing. Everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. It's a behavioral response if we really say we know him. By the way, where are you in this checklist? My identity is not just because he knows my name, though. I've seen arrogant Christians thinking that's all they have to do and they're waiting for the bus to heaven to take them home. No, there's a daily response. How are we going to respond? Are we living? Are we acting like he knows our name? Because we don't want to disappoint him. See, the closer we get to him, the more my name fades. The more my identity fades. That was the concept of what John was saying. My work's almost done here. And he says, he must increase, so therefore I'm going to decrease. And we are now going to take on his name. Basically what he is saying, when we take on his name, we are saying, I am changing my appetite for wickedness. It's like a marriage. You take the name. I know there are traditions to do things differently this day. Because the idea is when you do that, part of that, it's part But it is not the focal point, because it is a new name. It is a new entity. And some people want to, you can hyphenate and do whatever you want, but make sure the word is out. I've taken his name. I have put on this new name. Galatians 3, Paul said it this way: for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have what? Put on Christ. Oh, I love him. He's so wonderful. Oh, geez, so good. I love the feelings. Oh, I love these revelations. Yeah, but have we put it on? Have we put it on? My identity is in him. Here's the connecting point. Not only does he know my name, you better not be ashamed to name his name. I really like what the Message Bible said here in Philippians 3. Here's what Paul said. Here's what you need to know. I gave up all that inferior stuff so that I could know Christ personally, so I could experience his resurrection power, so I could be a partner in his suffering and go all the way with him, even to death itself. Remember the mortal body? That's only for here, and that's going to fade away. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cute? And that is all. And how do you get there? You are naming his name. You're not forgetting his name. You are identifying with his name. That is so strong, right? I have taken his name. I have put him on as a part of me. My identity is in him now. I'm not just talking about connecting to something, but I'm talking something deeper. And that's why you get the picture of the natural marriage thing. That's why there's so much to go to destroy that. Because if you can destroy that thing there, you can destroy the concept, the very foundational picture that God himself draws of Christ and the church and creation there. I'm not just talking it, though. I'm not just saying, I'm connecting with him. She said something a minute ago. She said, it's not just what you do today. It is the time you have spent getting. By the way, do you see the results in something? How many of you wish to play the piano? Wish you could play the piano? You hear Keith, you hear Linda play the piano. How many wish? I wish I could do that. You know why I can't play the piano? I did not put in the time they put in. I didn't put in the time they put in. I didn't put it, and it takes time. We'll talk about that when I do time in a few weeks. It takes time to do those things. Boy, I wish I could do that. You don't know the time they've gone through. You see somebody stand up and speak, or somebody say, man, I wish I could do that. But you don't know what the time that person put in to stand up to do that. You know, I've noticed it as singers, you know, that the time that it takes to understand certain things and to do things and the work and the understanding of certain things, that the work and the breath, all the different things that go into. I've noticed that it takes anything you do that looks good, it's going to take some time. Going to take some time. And it's not fun. It's not fun. Lindy used to tell about her mom making her sit there and practice, sit up straight and do those things. And then, of course, when the boys were taking piano, especially the big one, and he's up there and he's screaming and not want to do it. And she'd set the timer on the oven there, and she'd lay her wooden spoon right there on the end of the deal there for some encouragement, you know. And the little wooden, you're going to play there, and he's da 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 da. And then to help him with his ADD, we would find she went to the store and found cartoon songs and different things to help him to connect those things. And finally, one day, all of a sudden, she's in the kitchen and he stops. She said, you got 10 more minutes. Come on, you can't stop there. And all of a sudden on the piano started going, Cruella de Vil, Cruella de Vil. And she can't, I heard that. And she came around the side. I want to do that, but I didn't put the time into it. I see people with certain talents. I didn't put the time in it right now. See those boys playing baseball. Hardest thing in any sports is hit a fastball. And to do that. And I asked one guy, how did you practice? He said, I would take bottle caps with a broomstick and I'd try to hit them. Practicing on those things. And I would work on them. It takes time. If you want to put on Christ and walk through the storms of your life and get to the other side of it. Make sure you identify with his name, but you walk through those and you put Christ on. I've put the time in. That's what you need to say. By the way, you can tell the difference when somebody gets up to speak if they put the time in, their preparation. You go, I mean, you all have to go to an event and you realize that guy, he didn't prepare for that. That woman didn't prepare for that right now. This is really, really big. My question for you, have you really put time in on your journey? Guys especially, they'll sit down with their maps and they'll draw where their vacation is going to go and where they're going to drive and where they're all going to stop, but take no concept of drawing the course of their life of putting on Christ and what that entails in all of our lives. Yes, he knows me, but I can say I know him. So therefore, I have to be sober, what Paul wrote. I have to be alert. Because you always need to know, here's the other thing, when you put your guard down and you hear the wrong, somebody else knows your name too. And the other person and the other entity that knows your name to make you want to feel accepted. See, that's why the standards are being broken down. It's all right. You can believe those things. You can do that because what it does, it takes away the responsibility of a definitive code of conduct, a definitive code of law, a definitive code of behavior there, a definitive code of identities of a male and a female. You know, the Bible clearly said God created male and female. The rest are mental disorders. That's all that is. So, there is a power that once you feel accepted, that's why you see kids drawn to camaraderie that's not healthy and good. But he wants you to crumble. He wants you to fail. Our old friend Oral Roberts used to make it was probably one of the most theological statements, probably one of the most theologically sound statements you'll ever hear in your life. She and I heard him say it so many times. Here's what you need. Write this down because this is profound. Ready? God is a good God. The devil is a bad devil. Now, baby, that's as profound as you can get. If you will remind yourself that God is a good God and the devil is a bad devil, you can identify everything that's coming your direction by what you're feeling and what you're hearing right now. In his book called The Way I See It, writer Rufus Mosley said it this way, God is always voting for us. The devil is always voting against us. And the way we vote carries the election. Thank you and good night. Drive safe. Gospel worship leader and great writer Ricardo Sanchez says it this way. He said, the devil knows your name, but he calls you by your sins. God knows your sins. But he calls you by your name. I'm really doing pretty good here. I got to tell you that right now. This is landing really good. I feel good about that. That's a good word right there. The devil, and by the way, you can always, you know, somebody's always reminding you of these things. He's doing the job of the other side for you there. The devil will call you by your sins. Come on, you old sinner wretch. God knows. Come here, my son. Let me wipe your face off. Stop it. Don't do it again. But I will tell you, though, the bad devil is going to get his. Reassure yourself whenever you feel like you're out there by yourself. It tells me in the last few pages of the book, chapter 20, verse 10, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. So therefore, know you got a good God. He loves you. He knows your name. But know there's a bad devil who is setting snares for you and sending people to take you offline. So I said, how do I leave this some of this in your lap right now? Today I walk out of here and I walk in three ways, knowing that God's a good God, but the devil's a bad devil. I walk in caution. I walk in covenant, and I walk in confidence thusly. You understand? I walk with caution. I walk with caution. I'm not crazy. But I walk in covenant with him, and I walk in confidence. If we ever get to the point when we're not sure and we're weary and we're afraid, or whether we've been fearful or whether we've failed or whether we just feel abandoned or that nobody knows who we are. Know this, he knows my name. He won't forget. Even if I fade away from this planet, even if I lose my natural mind, he knows who I am. He will always know me by name. I had a story. I had to go look for it back in the files. There was a man by the name of Bill Meade. Quite an accomplished man, but he was in a long-term care facility, and he was in the long fade, and he was losing some of his capacity, and he knew it. So he wrote something, and a family member wrote it during those days, and this was posted on his door. He said, "My name is Bill Meade. I was born in abject poverty. I became a warrior in the U.S. Navy during the Korean War. I then laid aside my weapons. I became a missionary and a minister. I traveled the world spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. I brought hope, medicine, and love to the United States, to Europe, to South America, and to Africa. I'm slowly leaving this earth for my heavenly home. This may take a while. So I say thank you for remembering who I was and who I am. I am a man. I am a warrior. I'm a missionary. I'm a father and a friend and much, much more. And I have one more river to cross." David said it this way, "I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand and I shall not be moved." When it feels like nobody else knows who I am, you ever need that hug? You ever need that affirmation? You ever feel like a place where somebody knows your name? He knows your name. He knows your every thought. He sees each tear that falls. He hears me when I call. And I made a list. Why? Because I've put on Christ. He loves me. He watches me. He comforts me. He gets ticked off at me sometimes. He laughs at me. He nudges me. He protects me. So while you're looking for comfort and acceptance, some may say, why don't we change it? Sometimes you want to go where he knows your name. So I told you, I read all those verses, and I went through it, and I said, let me see where the Bible talks about God remembering us and knowing our name. I found it in Genesis. He told us in Deuteronomy. He told us in Joshua. He told us in Psalms. He told us in Hebrews. He told us in Revelation. And I gave up. In fact, I found out he has told us this in some way in all 66 books. He has said he would not leave us. He would not forsake us. He would not forget us. So therefore, at this point in my life, here's what I have to say. As for me, therefore, I don't have to reestablish that. I don't even have to ask him, are you sure? Ball's in my court. At this point, I have to point my life, my heart, my affection, my head in his direction, because he knows my name, and how many of you love the sound of his voice? So walk out today in caution, in covenant, but stand up in confidence. God knows me. I don't care what them goofy people that give you harass you. Those people on a job and things like that, or maybe you're in a store, you just kind of laugh. God knows me. God knows me. God knows who I am. Stand up right now. Lord, I thank you.